This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been online for more than a decade now, writing about and filtering the BS in the digital signage industry. Now it's also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. This week, I'm speaking with Luka Birsa, the CTO and co-founder of VisionEct, a Slovenian tech company focused on solutions that use electronic ink. If you've got a Kindle or Kobo e-reader, think of that display, but used instead for updated bus schedules at stops or for telling people whether a meeting room is booked or free. In our chat, we talk about the origins of the company and what e-paper is all about. We also answer a big question, where's Slovenia? Luka will fill you in on why end users would choose e-ink displays over LCDs or other tech, and where it's a fit and where it's not. He also talks about what's coming for the technology, like larger, full-color displays that could happily run just off solar power. So Luka, welcome. Thanks for jumping on this podcast.
Hi, Dave. Glad to be here.
Can you give me a little bit of background on your company? I think that'll be helpful all the way around because you're in Europe and not in North America and maybe not as familiar as some other companies might be.
Yeah, I'd glad to do that, Dave. So VisionEct has developed ultra-low power display platform that uses 99% less power than LCD or LED technologies and is powered by electronic paper and enables the use of digital displays in environments before not possible. So basically, an electronic paper display powered by VisionEct is a state-of-the-art signage technology, which is currently unparalleled when it comes to energy efficiency and display visibility, especially when used outdoors. Right now, we have about 500 customers across the globe using this in various applications. We kind of think that we're setting a new standard in digital signage industry.
Okay. Where's the company based?
We're based in Europe, in Slovenia.
And just for the, I actually looked it up, but I just help people out here and tell them where Slovenia is.
Yeah, so we're based in Slovenia. This is in the capital of Slovenia, in Ljubljana. This is Central Europe. We're bordering Austria and Italy, and we've grown quite a good footing here locally. But we work with distributors across the world, and I might say that our business is very, very international. So we work on all continents across the world, and we're very, very oriented towards the U.S. market, and we're looking to expand our operation to the U.S. in the future with local presence as well.
Is there much of a tech industry in Slovenia?
Yeah, Slovenia has a very, very good very, very good history in development of electronic solutions. We've actually in the 90s, we were developing PC computers. There was a huge industry for that in Slovenia. And after that, after the fall of Yugoslavia, there was a lot of spin-offs which continued on the legacy or built on the legacy of those old tech companies.
Okay.
And right now, it's a huge startup hub. A lot of people doing very, very interesting things. We have quite a few hardware startups in Slovenia. So I'd say that we're very, very, very well versed in developing electronic solutions, developing software and stuff like that.
Okay. So in essence, what you're doing is, I know you do a bunch of things, but from the context of digital signage, you're using electronic ink displays as opposed to LCD displays. And in some cases, you've got software that's driving those displays for, let's say, meeting room displays and so on. Would you say your business is primarily hardware or software?
I'd say it's both. We sell a lot of hardware, but an integral part of that hardware is also the software that comes with it. So, you know, when we started working with electronic paper about 10 years ago, we saw how hard it is to build your own e-paper product. There's so much nuances of that you need to know about e-paper. So starting off is really, really hard. And while we started with a finished product for hospitality, we actually saw a lot of potential in building a platform that enables regular companies to get off the ground with e-paper very fast. And it's not just a prototype platform. It's something that they can later use for production rollouts as well. So the software, in a sense, is a very, very important part. It gives you, on one side, the ability to execute your own solution very fast and provide you with a host of tools for management of these devices in the field. So we built a server / ThinkLang architecture where the hardware connects to our server and the server prepares all the contents. It monitors how the hardware is doing, it provides remote upgrades, like everything you would expect from a modern digital signage platform. An important part in this platform that's missing, this is on purpose, is the content management system or the end application. This is something that is brought by our partners. Our system plugs in into your existing infrastructure using open standards, web APIs, and HTML5.
So an existing software CMS out there could, if they use your APIs, work with VisionEck displays?
I would dare to say that any CMS right now that's capable of outputting HTML so that a browser could view it would probably work directly with our display platform. So if you have some HTML content that you want to display, it's as easy as pointing the server at the URL, and that's that. And you build your own digital signage solution.
Right. Now the qualifier there would be that this would be static content. You don't E-ink displays don't support any motion graphics, so you wouldn't have any animations or anything.
Yes, sure. There are limitations. I mean, it's the displays themselves, they have a limited update rate, so they're more suitable for content which is static. But our platform would handle even moving images and provide them although in a reduced fidelity to the displays. But we really think that the whole point of electronic paper is not in replacing full color 60 hertz, 100 hertz, 300 hertz LCDs or LED TVs. Mm-hmm. It's rather providing a place or a media which can display relevant information in your environment without being limited with questions like how am I going to power this, how will I deploy these things, will this be visible at all in the sunlight, things like that. And I think that our applications at this point really, really show that there is a huge market potential for this, and that there are a lot of applications which are very well suited for electronic paper. We have, for instance, bus stops, digital bus stops, which are completely autonomous, powered by a solar cell, connected via 3G. We have traffic signs. We have museum labels. We have door signage. I mean, there's so many different applications in industrial settings, displaying information on a production line. There are smart shelf labels helping you choose a phone, and all of these are real projects being done by our partners across the world, trying to provide additional information, perhaps contextual information, somewhere in your environment.
Right. And to help people who are listening to this, maybe some who aren't terribly familiar with ePaper, what I always say is, have you ever used an Amazon Kindle? Because that's e-ink. And that helps them get a sense of what this is. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yes. So the best way to describe it is just like you said. This is like Amazon Kindle with a twist. Amazon Kindle is the consumer version. This is used in millions of ebook readers, and this is something that your listeners probably already came into contact with. But being the company behind electronic paper displays in Amazon Kindle is betting very large on digital signage. Mm-hmm. So to help that market develop, they've started putting out larger and larger display sizes. So right now we have 9.7 inch, 13.3 inch, and even 32 inch. So this is like television size screen, which are all readily available right now. And for larger sizes, you can then tile displays together and create very, very large display surfaces. And the e-ink technology is always evolving. Right now, we're at the point where we have color displays available for a while now, and the quality of the color screen is rapidly improving. At the same time, there are new technologies coming out that enable e-paper to be flexible. This is already available in 32 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things are happening in the e-paper technology, which in a sense is the same technology that powers your Amazon Kindle or Kobo or whatever.
Right.
E-book reader, if you have one.
So if you have a set of, let's say, the 9.7 inch ones, and you want to put several of them together to create a larger canvas, so to speak, are there bezels, or do they pretty much fit without an imperceptible seam?
This differs from screen to screen, and some displays have more bezel, others have less. With smart tiling, you can maximize the edges in a way that you can get a very large screen. So, for instance, if you take 13.3 inches trim screens, you can tile them in a manner where the bezel is very thin.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a very nice, for instance, portrait display compiled out of three 13.3 inch panels. And this is a setup that some of our partners are using for the bus stops.
Okay.
For instance, we one of the first outdoor project that was with e-paper that actually went into production is a project that we did with Roads and Maritime Services in Sydney, Australia. They took 9.7 inch panels and we helped them put them together in a single package. They built an enclosure around the displays. They're using our driving electronics, which then seamlessly divides the pictures among those four panels. And while there is some seam between the screens, it's because these are actual traffic signs, the seams are not that visible. You're not that close to the screen, so that would be a problem in real life.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
For the mass transit vertical that you guys are going after, I know you have stuff in Sydney, as you've mentioned, and in London, England. Do you have any projects that are full rollouts, or are they still all in the kind of testing/pilot stage?
Yeah, the project in Sydney is in full rollout. This is way past the prototyping phase or pilot phase. They have deployed about 300 signs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they in the first wave they've deployed 100 signs, and right now they're preparing to deploy another 300 or 200. So this is an actual project which has been running for about 3 years now, more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the other projects go, I think the transit industry is really governed by very, very slow release cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we have a bunch of pilots across the world with different partners, and some of them are getting near to a stage where we're going to see first real rollouts in larger volumes.
And what's driving the decision around using e-paper or e-ink for this? Is it energy savings? Is it daylight readability? Or, you know, why are they going that way?
So it's really easy. I think that savings play a role, play perhaps a minor role in all of this. It's the most important thing about e-paper and the fact that it uses so little power that it can be solar cell powered. This means that you're not restricted as much with where you can deploy the panels, the displays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to deploy a LCD traffic sign or a LCD display outdoors, you're going to have municipal works which probably go over the total cost of the display that you're deploying, because you need to have power, you need to have, it's a whole procedure when you want to deploy such a sign.
Right, you've got to trench a ditch and bring the power to and the whole bit. Yeah.
Yeah, where with our solution, you're able to use existing poles and basically just mount the sign with a couple of screws, and that's that.
What happens at night?
At night, there's a backlight. There's an LED backlight which kicks in. We have an ambient light sensor built in hardware, so you're able to add additional light during the night, and it's much easier to light a display at night than light a display during the daylight.
Right.
If we're talking about the LCDs.
So it's like go ahead.
Yeah, it's exactly like with a Kindle.
Like a Kindle paper,
right? It's exactly like that. You have special protective glasses that have light dispersion guides built in, so you're able to light it from the sides with an LED strip.
And
what I really wanted to add to the past question, I just wanted to add about something about the bus stops,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge market. There's a couple of million bus stops across the US and Europe. And the fact is that providing digital information about the arrivals increases the amount of people that drive with the bus for somewhere about 6 to 8%. So it's actually deploying a digital bus stop pays out of increased rides with the bus. So there's a clear financial incentive for a traffic authority to deploy such a solution out there in the field. And I mean, it's going to cost a lot if you're going to try to equip every bus stop with a power line.
Mm.
Whereas with us, you just buy the displays, you mount them on the poles, and you're done.
What about the argument there that people would just look at their smartphones to get that information?
Yeah, the numbers that I've told you,
yeah,
these aren't made up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a study, based on a study done by the city of Chicago. And this is in a time when people already have smartphones.
Right.
So it's something different if you have information available right in front of you when you walk just past a bus stop or past some location that's supposed to provide you with information. I mean, that's why people still use notice boards and stuff like that.
Sure.
Because it's not like looking at your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
with that 6 to 8% increase in ridership as a result of that, what would that equate to in terms of an ROI model? Like the things will pay for themselves in a year or year and a half? Have you worked out those numbers at all?
No. Being a company that provides the hardware and the software to integrators, to people that actually deal with municipalities, we didn't crunch the numbers, and it really, really depends from how the integrator prices this solution.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the size of the displays that they're going to use. There's so many variables for here to consider to calculate the ROI. What I would say is that I think this market is hot, and there will be a lot of digital bus stops coming out in the next years. I'm sure about it. There's so many inquiries on this topic that I'm certain.
When you have a Kindle-sized display or tablet-sized display, an e-paper display, and you present this or your resellers present this to an end user and they say, the price on that is substantially more than I would pay for a full-color LCD tablet, so why would I buy this black and white display? How do you battle that stuff?
Yeah, so like I said before, it's when we talk to our customers or to our partners about e-paper displays, we never go into a price battle with LCDs and LEDs.
Because you're not going to win.
Yeah, you're not going to win, and it actually makes zero sense. If you can use an LCD or an LED for the same purpose without impacting the usability, without impacting the performance, or if there are no limitations, if you have a power plant just next to it, go with the LCD. Mm-hmm. We're not in the business in selling you dreams about the e-paper technology and saying that this is the ultimate display technology in the world. It isn't. Just like LCD or LED displays are not the ultimate technology. It's different. It depends from what you require from the display to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a bus stop, never going to happen with an LCD or an LED. It can't. A display which is used in traffic, which needs to be visible in sunlight, never going to happen with LCD and LED. It's really, really hard to compare these two technologies directly. So there are some applications which map much better to LCDs,
mm-hmm.
and there are others which map much better to the e-paper.
Okay. So let's talk about indoor signs. And you've got a meeting room product, and meeting room signs to me are very, very interesting. And there's a lot of different options out there, but I believe you're the only e-ink option for meeting room signs, and you have a product called Joan.
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. So when we started working on the indoor market, we were toying with different ideas, and we tested various ideas with our blog readers, and they really, really well, they really resonated with the idea of a very simple meeting room sign that would enable you to book the room on the spot and provide information if the room is taken. And at the same time, would it cost an arm and a leg? And at the same time, would it require a licensed electrician to install? So basically a simple sign that you can just stick on a wall and it just works without any extra cables and stuff like that. And
how do you power it?
I think that, yeah, so you have a battery cell inside. It's a rechargeable cell, and you simply take the display off every month, 2 months or so, and charge it and put it back on the wall. And okay. I mean, Joan as a product story is a very interesting story, because this product went through a kind of an agile product development. We asked our readers or our followers, what do they want to see in this product? And then we started an early adopters program in which various Fortune 500 companies also participated. They gave their feedback and helped us build, I think, the best meeting room signage currently on the market. We're positioned totally different to the, we call them Starship control systems, which are very complex and expensive,
mm-hmm.
very reasonably priced, and the product looks good. It's simple to use, so it's a full contrast, and we see really, really good reception from our customers, and we're ramping up in numbers from month to month.
Okay, let's talk quickly about the e-paper technology. E-Ink is who you work with. There are other e-papers out there. How do you distinguish what you have versus those? And I guess the second question would be, Is there a time when you're going to start to see a flood of Chinese-made e-paper-like clones?
To tell you the truth, we're very happy working with Ink and Epson, which are very close partners. We worked, we support also displays from Plastic Logic. And the rest of the competition, I dare say, is not that competitive. So you have a bunch of small signs and displays which are called e-paper, but are not actually based on ink, but are a modification of LCD technology. So they have other negative downsides. And I think right now, if you're going for instance, for a 32-inch sign, there's nobody else doing that than Ink. And there's, based on what we've seen on the latest expo, the Ink is preparing very, very interesting color displays, which will be truly fully color. And I don't see other companies catching up with them very, very fast. I guess that's how I see Ink's position right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so last question. Over the next 3 to 5 years, what should the marketplace expect to see coming out of not only your company, but with this kind of technology? I know you mentioned that you'll see full, rich color. Are there other things like larger footprint?
Yeah, I think that as this market develops, we're going to see larger and larger panels. We're going to see full color displays. We're going to see, on the other side, we're probably going to see a lot of new applications that haven't been done so far. We have some interesting announcements coming up in next month or 14 days that relate to transportation again, but with a twist. And I'm sure that there are so many different projects in signage that will be unlocked now as people get an alternative to the power-hungry LCD and LED screen. So it's bus stops. I mean, those are going to be huge in 3 years' time. It's going to be traffic signs. I'm sure about that. And we shouldn't forget about indoor as well. There's so many applications from wayfinding to medical applications through, museum signage. Stuff like that. We're actually competing against regular paper and not LCD or LED displays. So if you think about it, think about all the places where you have a piece of paper stuck to your wall. How would that be improved by turning it into a remotely controlled digital surface that can be updated with a blink of an eye? So it's that kind of changes that we're going to see on the market.
All right, Luca, thank you very much for spending the time with me.
Yeah, Dave, glad to be on your show.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9, the blog, and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.